And the idea that we somehow are hateful because we want to evangelize people is itself hateful. That's hatred for the faith to say that. That's hatred for the Catholic faith, and that's hatred for Jesus Christ to say that to convert people to Jesus Christ is itself hateful. Okay, so there. You call me hateful, I'll call you hateful, I suppose. So, that being said, what I was minded to speak about in more detail here, talking about the conversion of the Jews, talking about the subject of, yes, the church does evangelize Jews, is I wrote a piece years ago when all this stuff was still raging in 2012. There was still controversy about this stuff, and there were some backs and forths, and it involved, well, I mean, I'll give you the nature of the controversies as I begin to read this piece. I wrote a piece back in 2012, in July of 2012, that was related to some of the polemics flying around. At the beginning, I'm going to just reference those polemics, but I'm not entering into those specific polemics. I'm instead taking advantage of something that Jeff Myers, Dr. Jeff Myers, who I have many, many disagreements with, I wrote something addressing something he said. I took a suggestion he made and used it as a polemic against him. And I called it a slow reading of Romans 11. Now, for this particular show, for episode number 273, I'm going to link several pieces that are on the Catholicism.org website. I'm going to enter "The Jewish Nation Will Enter the Church." I'm going to put also, I'm going to link Charity for Gentiles and Jews. I'm going to link the Good Friday Prayer for the Jews, which is a piece I wrote as an ad rem back, ad rem number 62. I'm up to, I think, 390 now. So this is ad rem over 10 years ago. And I'll also link, just for the heck of it, Lebanese Jews Converted by a Miracle, just to show you that, yeah, Jews have been converted all throughout the history of the church. I will link a slow reading of Romans 11, which I recommend you reading again after you've heard it here. I mean, why not? Repetitio est mater studiorum. And a fine article, lastly but not leastly, by Gary Potter called Forgotten Converts. And Gary talks about Edith Stein, but he doesn't leave it at that. He said, look, there are all of these converts from Judaism. And in our present day, when we talk about when we hear churchmen speaking against evangelizing the Jews, it makes these converts look foolish for having embraced Christ and embraced the church and accepted, sought for and received baptism. The idea is that we're insulting these people when we say that we don't want to evangelize Jews. And they would be the first ones to say, how dare you not attempt to evangelize our people according to the flesh. Of course, once you're baptized, your people are Christian people, right? This is not about blood, right? This is about, if it's about any blood, it's about the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is applied to us as soon as we're baptized. So let's not be stupid and fall for some sort of race argument. This has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. The church is to evangelize all peoples, all nations, every tribe and tongue, etc., as spoken of in the book of the Apocalypse. So let's break out of these molds that they want to stick us in. Let's get out of the cubbyholes that we've been crammed into, that if you want to evangelize a Jew, you're an anti-Semite because you hate their race. That's absurd. That's patently absurd. If I hated Jews, I wouldn't want to be around them, right? I wouldn't want them in my church. I wouldn't want them kneeling in the altar rail next to me to receive the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, and his body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion, right? I mean, we don't go by their categories. We go by God's categories. So I'm going to now read to you a piece called A Slow Reading of Romans 11. But first, you're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in, I almost said Still River, Massachusetts. Isn't that weird? I never even lived there. In Richmond, New Hampshire. In these days of widespread heterodoxy and profound confusion on religious matters, many people take it as a sign of hate that a Catholic would seek to draw into the Church any and all non-Catholics. On the contrary, true zeal for the conversion of one's neighbor is a sign of love for God and for man. Given the thorny nature of the questions raised in this article and the toxic atmosphere of public discourse today, I consider it wise to make this disclaimer of sorts. And I will add one more comment before proceeding. Quote, "The Queen of Heaven is a little Jewish girl," end quote, Father Leonard Feeney. In his polemic, A Faulty Traditionalist Condemnation, Dr. Jeff Myris recommends that his readers undertake a slow reading of Romans chapter 11. This will apparently help us to understand the points of St. Paul's inspired text that traditionalists have so far failed to understand. Dr. Myris' piece was written in response to an article by John Venari. Now since deceased. So pray for the soul of John Venari, a good man. Which in turn was critical of statements made by Archbishop Augustine de Noia, OP, he's a Dominican friar, in an interview he gave to Vatican Insider. My interest here is neither Mr. Venari's claims nor the Archbishop's words, but rather in what Dr. Myris wrote, for it pertains to our issue of course being extra ecclesia nulla salus, no salvation outside the Church. In case you haven't heard that before, go to Catholicism.org and type in outside the Church there's no salvation into a search bar, and you'll come up with all sorts of illuminating things. Dr. Myris rejects the idea that the defined dogma extra ecclesia nulla salus means that non-Catholics have to convert to Catholicism in order to be saved. He writes, quote, "No, the ancient phrase extra ecclesia nulla salus means something far less formal and happily far more substantial than that. To understand it, we must recall that for St. Paul, being joined to Christ is the same thing as being joined to the Church, Christ's body. And this joining comes through belief in, trust in, and obedience to God according to whatever degree of truth the Holy Spirit writes in each person's heart." And then he has after that a reference to see what does it mean to be saved, which I think he also penned. End of quote from Dr. Myris. Now, let me point out that when Dr. Myris says less formal, I think that's utterly hilarious. It makes me picture people in tuxedos. But he does not use whatever his doctorate was in. I think it's something like intellectual history. Whatever his doctorate is in, he has no use of precise theological language. And the more polemic he becomes, the more vague he also tends to be. At least. I shouldn't say that as a general rule. I don't read Dr. Myris very much. I read him when he says something stupid like this on our issue, and I find him to be, for all of the sort of verbal effluvia that comes onto the page, there's very little by way of clarity, and there's very little by way of precise theological verbiage. He just speaks in these vague, sweeping ways that don't nail down anything with exactitude or clarity. In other words, in his polemics, he frequently retreats into vagaries, and that shows you that you have really, really no argument. Moving right along, if the reader clicks on the link to Dr. Myris's What Does It Mean to Be Saved, he will not see that particular and vague explanation of St. Paul's thought either proven or made less problematic. Instead, the reader will find more vague notions which are not proven, but which are simply asserted on the authority of a book by Father William Most, also now deceased, that Dr. Myris does not even bother to quote. So, you know, he makes this strong polemic, and then he references this other thing he wrote, and you go to it, and there's basically nothing there. It's a nothing burger. That references a book that he doesn't even quote. So this is the quality of Dr. Myris's polemics, at least on this issue. Maybe on other issues where he's right, he can make a good argument. A few paragraphs later, Dr. Myris refers to Pope Pius XI's prayer, the consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, I linked to that prayer in this piece, which asks which asks in that prayer God to, quote, turn thine eyes of mercy towards the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old, they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. Of course, that was at the Passion. May it now descend upon them in a laver of redemption and of eternal life, end quote.